Powell, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Noguera, Hugh Grant, Dennis Moynihan, David Prude, and Dennis McCormick. If you want to see transcripts of our shows or video or audio podcasts or sign up for our daily news digest, go to democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman in New York. Juan Gonzalez is in Chicago. Thanks so much for joining us.
Rectangular, rapid flashing beacons are warning devices at pedestrian crossings. Maintaining safety at these crossings is the responsibility of both pedestrians and drivers. Be watchful when you see a pedestrian beacon and look for approaching pedestrians, even when the lights are dark. A pedestrian should push the button to activate the signal. When the lights begin flashing, indicate you intend to cross by carefully stepping into the crosswalk. The flashing lights are meant to catch a motorist's attention. When you see them, it means a pedestrian is trying to cross. Be prepared to yield to pedestrians in the crosswalk. Allow pedestrians to completely cross the road, whether or not the lights are still flashing. When pedestrians and motorists follow the rules of the road, everyone can stay safe.
Yeah, if you're walking around now, have an umbrella as well, because you'll probably need it. It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to radio station WUSB, Stony Brook. Time for Off the Wall. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein with you, joined by Kyle.
I'm here.
Talking extra fast because we're late. I'm sorry we're late because we were, we were checking the lawn sprinkler. We have this modern app. Some of you probably have this. You can control the lawn sprinkler from your phone. It's really cool, and it has something called, what is it, smart weather, smart rain?
Something like that.
Smart. It's not so smart because it's pouring rain now and the sprinkler is on. I don't understand it. Why?
I think we were unhappy with it because we gave it a different location, and then the weather didn't sync up or something. We were trying to...
Look, all of Long Island is under a severe thunderstorm watch. It's raining right now. I don't know what more it needs. It's accessing the weather forecast, you know, National Weather Service, all that. It should know. It should know today is not a good day to sprinkle. So... okay, I've got my phone here. I'm going to turn it off. Just checked in. It's definitely on right now, but I'm going to go to the app and turn it off.
It is weird. It is weird to have a sprinkler on when you're hearing bone shaking thunder.
Yeah, I stopped it. That's kind of cool. I can just stop it from my phone.
Yeah, you have a lot of technological power in your. In your hand at this moment.
I just stopped the neighbors, too.
That's a good thing,
right? I
mean, yeah.
The fact that I have access shouldn't bother them so much because I just saved them a ton of water.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm sorry about that, folks. It's raining. It's dangerous weather out there, so I don't know. Use common sense. Don't be outside where you might get struck by lightning. Don't be on a boat. What else can we tell people, you know? Stay inside. Listen to the radio. If you're driving, be careful. Don't go into big, huge lakes.
There could be different flooding situations depending on the terrain, so mm-hmm. be on the lookout for unusual stuff. There could also be sort of like drains, storm drains that have been filled with debris in past events, and maybe they're not working totally 100%. I know that's always a concern with the transportation, but also just... be mindful of people using the road trying to get somewhere because, well, they're just stuck. They were in route and in one area is getting a deluge. If it does rain like that, watch out on the roads.
Right. And, you know,
let people get home, get to where they're going.
You raise a good point, perhaps unintentionally, but be wary of idiots because you might be taking all the precautions, but some idiot might not, and he'll put you in danger or she'll put you in danger. So just be careful and assume somebody's going to do the worst possible thing imaginable.
Yeah, your own idiocy notwithstanding.
No need to insult our listeners, but no, idiocy is something we can all achieve. And unfortunately,
well, realize you at any one point are the idiot on the other end of someone else's ire.
Can we just move away from the idiot thing? You know,
well, we're not all perfect at all times.
I know
on
we're
the
not
road.
All perfect. I realize that doesn't mean we're all idiots constantly.
Okay.
All right.
We're acknowledging our human qualities as well.
This is such a contentious weather forecast. It's raining outside, folks. Please be careful. That's all. We care. We do.
All right.
Let's see. We've had some interesting things going on lately. We were watching the Women's World Cup. Oh my God, the Women's World Cup is awesome. Are you guys watching this? It's really cool. You know, I've never actually watched before. I don't know if it's been on TV like it has been. It's kind of cool. You know, Fox has it on broadcast TV in the middle of the night sometimes. And I hats off to them for doing that. It's on this other channel called FS1 at other times.
It is commendable.
It's commendable up to a point. Because for God's sake, people, stop talking about the United States. It's I know you're patriotic. I know you care about your country. But if I'm watching Zambia playing Sweden, you don't need to be talking about Baltimore. You know, I don't think those teams have played yet. But
any connection is being overexposed in moments that are totally relevant. Mm-hmm. I hear you. I've noticed that as well.
And learn something about the game too. It's not 3-0. That's not the score, you moron. It's 3-0. That's how you say it in football. They call it football too. Stop saying soccer. You know, people watching this are not going to get confused. They know what they're watching, and it's called football in the whole world. So you don't need to make this whole, oh, yeah, we call it soccer, and it's nothing, not nil. No, you don't need to do that. Get rid of that guy. Can we just have the person with the English accent on? Because they seem to get it. In fact, I find myself switching to the Canadian broadcasting because they go to the right people that understand the game, and they're not constantly talking about Canada. They're talking about the teams that are playing. All that aside, though, it's really enjoyable to watch. I don't know. We were talking about this the other day, like the difference between the men's game and the women's game. And the one thing that I came up with, which I thought was very noticeable, it's very physical. It's very fast-paced. But what it's not as confrontational in that you don't feel like a brawl's about to break out like you do sometimes with men's football. And it's a cleaner game. It's a cleaner game, and maybe that makes it less appealing to some people, but to me it makes it more appealing because you get to focus on the actual game. Yeah, there are yellow cards, there are red cards, there are some brutal tackles, there are injuries, if that's your thing. There isn't the needless threatening threat of some kind of violence breaking out. They basically get the job done, and I've been very impressed so far.
Certainly, the injuries and the downtime. I feel like the gameplay is pretty much as exciting and identical in every way. Like perhaps, except for the sort of personal scuffle. Which just you don't, as you pointed out, you don't see as much.
I haven't seen it at all. I haven't seen anybody shove somebody after the play. I mean, I've seen people shove during the play, but afterwards I don't see benches clearing out. I don't see coaches, storming onto the field or anything like that.
At most ambivalence, but often they're checking to make sure they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just sort of embarrassed or just wanting to, move on themselves, not trying to, inflict anything intentionally. There's some diving. There's some really technical calls too, like just stuff you wouldn't even have seen. They're using a lot of this automated stuff.
Yeah,
I think.
Know what? I don't like that.
There
are so many cases. I keep coming back to Zambia, but there are cases where basically you get a goal or you have you save a penalty. You save a penalty kick from scoring. And then some technicality by playing it back and looking with a microscope, you find out, oh, the goalkeeper was slightly off the line, so we have to take it again, and this time they score. It just seems like that is being used a bit too much. I've never seen that used before, and I saw it used two games in a row.
It's overriding the on-field referee, in a
right.
sense.
Yeah.
Their judgment as the keeper of the time is just sort of superseded by this panel of people that have the technical means to evaluate it and then alert everyone while the play is potentially already commenced and far from whatever that interaction was. And it just, I think, can be a source, actually, of animosity that in the on-field refs' judgment wouldn't mm-hmm. have come about and wouldn't have occurred without this retrospective constantly. So that is like a new, I think, judgment or like gray
just,
area with
it. I want the right call. It's just, I don't want it to always have to be so perfect that we have to look at everything over and over again until we get a different result. It slows down the game.
And generates animosity, I think.
Yeah, from me, really, because...
yes, the spectators.
You think someone has done something incredible, and they really have, but because of a slight thing that would have been overlooked in the past, they got to do it again, and of course they can't do the same thing twice. Anyway, so, I definitely recommend it, though. It's on in the middle of the night. You can tape it or whatever. See an amazing game. Women's World Cup. They are selling out stadiums like you wouldn't believe over there in Australia and New Zealand, which is where it's taking place.
Co-hosted by mm-hmm. those nations.
Yeah. And the World Cup's coming to the United States, the Men's World Cup. When are they going to start calling it the Men's World Cup and not just the World Cup? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, there's a little bit of, I think, myopic or, like, overlap in some of the ways things are being labeled and gendered and not gendered.
Right.
So, yeah, it's like the Women's World Cup. Okay, so was the World Cup just the Men's World Cup? Or, I mean, is that even... It's like a foregone conclusion?
Yeah, I mean...
Is that
really something that's going to bother people? That to have to call it the Men's World Cup, is that really going to be? I mean, I know Republicans; it'll bother them for some reason.
It's bait for some kind of culture.
But hey, you claim to be supporting women's sports by keeping all the trans athletes out. So hey, why don't you do this for them? Yeah, well, let's see how far that goes. Speaking of women's sport, we're watching the Tour de France.
Yes.
Which. Again, that's a 21 day bike race.
Very long.
Through the streets of France and maybe other countries too, Switzerland maybe, or?
Yes, it's okay. In the Alps at some point. It varies year to year. They change
go all
course,
over the place.
Starting points and so forth. Yeah.
And it's been on every night at about 2 in the morning. We've been taping it and watching it the next day. It's on USA Network. Well, it's not on anymore. It ended. And here's the thing that annoys me because, we were watching it every day, and the finale where they ride down the Champs-Élysées in Paris, that was on yesterday. And I thought it was odd that it ended on a Monday. It turns out that this whole time we've been watching it a day late and not knowing it, because it doesn't say anywhere on the screen that it was taped the day before, what day it actually is. You just assume because it's on 2 in the morning and it's in Europe that it's live from Europe or, you know, somewhere around it. But it wasn't until somebody said, yes, late afternoon in Paris. And I'm like, how could it be late afternoon in Paris? I'm watching this at 2 in the morning in the United States. And that's when I realized that NBC has this Peacock thing that they're trying to get everybody to pay for and watch it actually live. And then they rebroadcast it on the USA Network the day after, which is fine. You know, I'm glad they're doing that. It's great coverage. Very few commercials. Again, you got the announcer with the British accent, which it's always a good thing, I think.
Oh, legendary announcer.
Yeah. Just mention that it's a day late. That you're not going to lose any viewers.
Yeah, the delay, it's definitely, I think, more about driving to that platform, like you've mentioned. And the Femme Tour de France, the female version.
And that's another question, yes. Now,
that wasn't even aired, and it's only on that platform.
I don't get it. I know women ride bicycles. So why is this a thing where you just focus on the men and not the women?
I'd love to have watched that as well. And it basically, I think it started a bit later.
So is that still going on now? Do we even
know? I believe
it
is. It started, I think, on the 23rd, but I'm not sure.
Do people really think that's less exciting because it's a woman on a bike instead of a man on a bike? I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I think it's worthy viewing and certainly could have found its place in some of those overnights. And it's a shame it's not picked up and aired so we'd know if it's still going on.
Well, I still want to know how it works because all the men ride through there. Does the crowd stick around and all the women come a few hours later or the next day? Or
I think it's a different course, actually. I don't know that. I don't know.
We don't know. I think that's the theme here. We
totally
don't know because it's not being talked about anywhere.
Yeah, it's a real shame. And I think cycling in general is it's kind of not... I think taken as seriously, or it's not enjoyed as much, although a lot of people bicycle, and that it just seems like a paradox because it is a prevalent form of transportation in this country. But yeah, the coverage of both of those races and the wider sort of mainstreaming of it, I think would be welcome and find a place.
Okay, this is what I don't get, though. I mean, I can understand why you don't have men's football, European football, and women's football on the same field at the same time. I get that. But, you know, you have marathons. You have New York City Marathon, Boston Marathon. Men and women are running together, and they're basically ranked differently. You know, you have the men's finisher, you have the women's finisher. Why can't you do the same thing for the Tour de France? Why can't you have everybody riding bikes at the same time, but
yeah, they should be.
Women are judged on a different scale than men,
even
but they're on the same damn course.
Even if the course had variations, which it doesn't, like you're pointing out, it doesn't really need.
Right.
Just run them in different heats or different timing. staggering, however necessary. You know, once you have one field of riders leave and the other peloton follows in due course, it's strange that it's exclusive in that way. They've only recently just added a male person. You know, they have the celebration. They hand you the flowers. It used to be two women in dresses. Now it's a male and a female person.
So I did not know that.
Yeah, the tour is really like, wow.
I saw the guy throw the flowers into the crowd.
Yay cycling.
Like a bouquet.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind
but
of
But people should respect bicycling more, and it's a shame out here, too. It's so treacherous on the roads. That's, I think, why we talk about the weather and driving.
Yeah.
But bicycling really should have more support in the greater. I know it does in New York City and in the greater New York State area.
Not enough in New York. It has to be protected.
Just everywhere.
You know, what they did out here is they painted bicycle icons on the road. It doesn't make a bike lane. It just puts bicyclists right in front of cars and in a very treacherous place. You need a bike lane and not just, on the other side of a line. You need something that is protected.
You've got to develop a comprehensive bicycling infrastructure. If you want to really cut down on carbon emissions quickly, that is an affordable alternative. You don't have to buy a bunch of batteries or some kind of solar car or flying device that hovers you to wherever you need to be. But corridors, protected areas, and just generally good signage and stuff that helps people be aware on the road and cognizant of who and what is around them, as it is a busy place, and good lighting.
Yeah.
So anyway, end of diatribe.
End of sports, because we have other things to talk about as
well. Yeah, cycling, and we're not going to talk about cricket.
Yeah, I just found out there's a cricket league in this country.
Do you know
country.
That? Major League Cricket.
Major League, and it was on TV last night on CBS Sports, I think.
Yeah, they're giving that a test. You apparently
know,
it's big.
It is big. I know a lot of people live here who have played cricket, and I keep trying to understand the game, and I just can't. And I think that's my problem, not anybody else's.
I don't get it for one bit.
Yeah. I still think it's a practical joke, and the British started and just to make us look silly. Okay, anyway, let's get on to some news that's going on in the world. Of course, you've been hearing about all the protest demonstrations in Israel, this is because of the direction that country is turning. And it is sad. It is sad. It is scary. It's not something that democracy-loving people support in general. And the White House is no exception. The White House criticism of Israel after its right-wing coalition embarked on a plan to target judicial power. It's bringing a new kind of turbulence to one of America's oldest friendships. On Monday, the Israeli parliament passed a controversial law stripping the Supreme Court of its power to block government decisions. Just basically saying, you know what, you don't count anymore because we want to do it our way. We don't have anybody standing in the way. And this is going to be a theme. We're going to focus on a few issues where this is the tactic that is now being used. Now, this is something that has caused tension because we actually have someone in the White House who cares about democracy, which it doesn't happen all that often, but it's happening right now. The thinking is that this is going to worsen the relationship between President Biden and Benjamin Netanyahu. Opponents of Netanyahu's reforms warn that weakening the power of Israel's Supreme Court will compromise checks on the authority of the most right-wing government in the country's history, which would pave the way to extremist policies, raise questions about the fair conduct of future elections, ultimately erode its democracy. Israel is turning into a fascist state. Make no mistake about that. And if you don't believe that, how about listening to this guy, Itzhak Zarka? He's one of the people on the other side of the issue, a Likud activist. He was spouting off towards people on the other side, shouting at anti-judicial form protesters that another 6 million of you should burn. Honestly, you know, we have this this tendency to label anybody who criticizes Israel as anti-Semitic. I think Israel is becoming very anti-Semitic. And what I mean by that is when you tie an entire people to the policy of one regime, and if they dare criticize that, they are considered to be, traitors. If they're not Jewish already, then they're anti-Semitic, but if they are Jewish, then they should burn with the rest. You know what? You do not stand for the Jewish people. You don't. You did at one point. Yeah, you know, at the beginning, there was a lot of promise, but this is ugly. And bravo to the people in the streets, remain in the streets over there. But just remember one thing, you know, as the Israeli police and secret guards or whatever are firing water hoses at you and arresting you en masse, that you'd be dead if you were Palestinian doing the same thing. Just remember that. And, you know, people on the other side of other issues, look at these people. Look at the people standing up for democracy and ask yourself, do we have something in common with them? Can we work with them? There might be hope in all this. So, yeah, that's the ugliness going on over there. We have plenty of ugliness here, though, to focus on. This was a surprise when the Supreme Court, dominated by conservatives, as we all know, when they ordered Alabama's conservative-dominated state government to redraw its congressional map and include either a second-majority black congressional district or something quite close to it. And what Alabama did in response was just say, no, we're not going to. Here's a middle finger, Supreme Court. We're going to do it our way, and we are not going to have black representation. What are you going to do about it? That is how Republicans deal with things they don't like now. They just don't do it. Instead of simply complying with the Supreme Court's order in the Allen versus Milligan case, Alabama's legislature redrew the congressional map to lower the black voting age population in the existing Democratic seat held by Representative Terry Sewell from about 55% to just over 50%, and then increased a second district's black population percentage to about 40%. The new map approved by Alabama's legislature and governor will go before federal courts for review in August. So obviously the story is far from over, but it basically ignores what they were ordered to do. And I guess they feel they're above the law. And, you know, Republicans seem to think they can just do that. They can just rewrite history, disobey orders, disobey basically anything coming from courts. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, intensifying his efforts to de-emphasize racism in his state's public school curriculum by arguing that some black people benefited from being enslaved, and defending his state's new African-American history standards that civil rights leaders and scholars say misrepresents centuries of U.S. reality. Yeah. He's fighting back after putting forth this absurd, ridiculous scenario that slavery actually benefited black people. Even if you're saying in a few cases, no, it didn't benefit anybody who is enslaved. It's slavery, for God's sake. How do you even say this with a straight face? Now, of course, he's also saying, I had nothing to do with it, which is a lie. You know he did. He put these people in power. He preached at them what he wanted. They did what he wanted. Now, this guy is running against Trump for the Republican nomination. It's fun to watch the Trump people attack him, and it's weird to agree with what they say. But, of course, we know the horrors that would come with that particular candidate. But DeSantis is lagging in polls against Trump, trying to reboot his campaign, see how that goes, and is facing a world of criticism. Former U.S. Representative Will Hurd of Texas, who announced last month that he was joining the race for the GOP nomination, blasted the idea that enslaved people were able to use slavery as some kind of training program. Slavery wasn't a jobs program that taught beneficial skills, said Hurd, the son of a black father and a white mother. It was literally dehumanizing and subjugated people as property because they lacked any rights or freedoms. But DeSantis continues to defend Florida's new curriculum, which covers a broad range of topics and includes the assertion from middle school instruction that slaves develop skills which in some instances could be applied for their personal benefit. Now, there are all kinds of things mandated in Florida that can be talked about and cannot be talked about. And it's disgusting to see this happening, to see how kids are going to be manipulated. But what I wonder is, we see how Republicans just flout the law when it doesn't suit them, how they just refuse. Maybe it's time we did that too. We start burning these books that teach this crap and start teaching kids the truth and refusing to back down. You know, cause I see a lot of victims, a lot of people saying, oh, we can't do this now. We can't do that now. We have to flee. We have to go and hide and act like criminals. How about we just stand up to it? How about we just fight back? How about we just really piss them off? It's worth a try, don't you think?
Yeah, like refuse to implement their illegal and, I think, immoral policies in some cases. It's such a bad precedent to change what so many people have as a common understanding and try to engender this in generations. It's poison.
Mm-hmm.
It's really poison. They're not going to be well equipped for society with this kind of education and revisionism.
You have to take risks sometimes. You have to go to jail sometimes. You have to fight back against a corrupt system sometimes. That's what people all over the world are doing as we speak. So we should never back down when that situation, that opportunity presents itself. And there's plenty of opportunities to go around in this country right now.
These pages could go missing, too. You just have gaps in the book.
I would support that.
What if they were just missing?
Well, I'm assuming there are textbooks. I don't know if people even use textbooks anymore.
No, that's probably apps.
But it's, I would say this quite clearly to anybody who has the ability to mess up these pages one way or another, whether it's physically, whether it's online.
Digitally.
Do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. It is your obligation to do that.
It's resistance. And, I mean, it doesn't need to be pitched yelling and vocalization in front of some building somewhere. No, I mean, you can use any form to respond to this,
mm-hmm.
including using the paper trail that a lot of these really sort of cavalier efforts are leaving. Their misdeeds are right there in the legal system and really ripe for rebuke. So there's so many avenues, and I'm heartened that people are standing up, or at least taking note and alerting others.
I mean, I see people complaining.
Well, it's got to get the word out.
I want to see actions. I want to see people actually, you know,
coverage matters.
Fighting back and hurting these people.
For sure.
Not physically hurting them so that their racist, horrible policies do not see the light of day. That's what I wish for.
Yeah, they're perceived sources of power and authority, I think, need to be questioned and heard, as you
said. And, you know, we're in one of those moments where we don't have a fascist regime running the entire country. That could very well change very soon. But right now you have a situation where the Justice Department is suing Texas. They're suing Texas over the installation of a floating barrier meant to stop people from swimming across the Rio Grande, razor wire in the water, horrible things like that. Now, this suit comes about after Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, another real winner, heralded the installation of the 1,000-foot barrier this month, refused a request from the Justice Department to remove the buoys, or buoys, I guess is how you say that word, voluntarily, vowing instead to fight in court to keep them in place. If you truly care about human life, Abbott said to Biden, you must begin enforcing federal immigration laws. In the meantime, Texas will fully utilize its constitutional authority to deal with the crisis you have caused. What a jerk this guy is. You know, if I were the federal government, I'd just go in there right now and destroy those things. But there's no reason that people can't do that. There's no reason people can't simply
dismantle.
Yeah, you know, this is wrong. There's been growing outcry among Democrats, even some in Texas law enforcement, over other increasingly aggressive tactics the state is using to block immigrants. Including installing additional layers of concertina wire. Such a nice name for razor wire,
it's
concertina
nasty.
Wire.
Oh, it's nasty stuff.
Yeah, you know, maybe you should feel what that's like, Governor Abbott. You know, this is what you're doing to children and to people just trying to get a better life. You know, that's these are not criminals.
You're going to hide it underwater, under murky water. You know how fast you die, bleeding out, drowning, cut up, swimming in the water from that?
Yeah. Basically, installing that along the banks of the Rio Grande, state police officers have been shouting at migrants to turn back, and in some cases refusing to provide water to people who request it. Is any of this surprising? You know, we've been warning about this. When you have this anti-immigrant mentality, it's going to manifest itself in all kinds of barbaric acts. And this is not who we are. We're supposedly a nation that welcomes immigrants, especially people who are fleeing something that is nasty, bad, scary. You know, a lot of our relatives did that decades ago, centuries ago even. And it's time that we resume welcoming people who are looking for something better. It's not that hard a concept. And really, the only reason why there is such animosity towards these people is because they look a little different. If they looked like us, would not be a problem. Would not be a problem at all. You know, people from Canada coming in, no big deal. Ukrainians, they look pretty similar to us, no big deal. But Syrians, Mexicans, Chinese, oh my God, no, people from Africa, we can't have that. That is literally what these people are pretty much overtly saying now. And we need to fight back.
Even in those locations, the acute effects of it, you suffering that as a resident or someone there, I mean, just to take these kinds of punitive measures that are horrific instead of really looking far and wide politically and throughout the sort of dialogue, you know, with everybody to find and get at root causes of this with a really a comprehensive plan. I think instead of just going it alone and coming up with these harebrained ways to block waterways and deny with the utmost discrimination those that would otherwise, you know, be suffering where they're coming from, it's just cruel and it's stupid. It's just short-sighted. You gotta I think get over your proximity to it,
right?
And stop blaming one person, one president. You know, I mean, it's just
well, they want to blame
it's
him for disingenuous. They want to blame him for everything, and it's just it's comical at times. Sure, there are things you can blame Biden for, but they're literally blaming him for things that they would never have mentioned if it happened under somebody else. You know, I was watching some TV newscast focused on Long Island, where people were saying, "Yeah, you know, it's so hard with the gas prices." They're still saying gas prices are high when they're not. Gas prices are, in fact, lower than they were under Trump. Yet people still go back to that mantra, saying gas prices are the problem. First of all, I think gas prices should be a lot higher than they are.
They're really low out here. I think the West Coast is
super low. They're super low. Yeah,
we noticed really high prices when we were traveling.
Red states actually have higher gas prices. So, you know, why are people continuing to say they're not checking the facts? They're just saying what they're told to say.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. It could be 50 cents a gallon, and they will still complain about that until somebody tells them to complain about something else instead.
Well, get a bicycle.
That's not going to happen either.
Well, I mean,
it's not the issue.
It speaks to the comprehensive transportation and, you know, employment strategy and how people are so dependent on these things. But, you know, prices fluctuate, and, you know, you can't pit it on any one action.
Yeah. Anyway, so that lawsuit is underway. Border Patrol officials are complaining to Texas law enforcement, basically saying the proliferation of razor wire along the river has made it more difficult for border agents to help migrants and could lead to more drownings, which is what Texas wants, or what Abbott wants for sure. On Friday, more than 80 Democratic representatives in the U.S. House, including all of those from Texas, signed a letter to Mr. Biden urging him to investigate the Operation Lone Star program and stop Mr. Abbott's dangerous and cruel actions by asserting the federal government's authority over immigration law. And I hope they move in there. I hope they move in there and dismantle those things and stop anybody who gets in the way, because this is a human rights issue. Okay, you know what? But we live in a democracy. We live in a place where we can vote, and that's always the answer, right? You can, when you have something bad that happens, you vote for something good, and then things change. Well, Republicans are attacking that as well, because in Ohio, this whole anti-abortion thing is not going over that well. And Ohio voters will decide in November whether to amend their state constitution to establish a right to abortion, after state officials said today that proponents had submitted over 495,000 valid signatures from voters, more than enough to put the question on the ballot. This is something Republicans have been trying to stop. They don't want people to decide this. They want to decide it. They want to be able to control your body and your life.
And they really hate this because it's states' rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, guess
really
what? State constitution. Oh, you don't want an amendment? Oh, we can't even vote on this? Really?
Supporters of the measure, however, face another hurdle, because Republicans in the state legislature want to make the amendment harder to approve and have put up a ballot question of their own that would raise the threshold of voters required to amend the state constitution to 60% instead of a majority. Yeah. So that is what they are trying to do, is change the rules so that a majority no longer gets their way. They get their way because they strategically manage to place themselves in certain positions. And if they can on this August 8th special election push this through, where it's now required that you have to have 60% for something like a abortion rights amendment to go through, there's nothing left. There's nothing left. They basically subverted democracy.
Yeah, it's they're in these positions and willing to use and abuse their position to forward their own prerogative, mm-hmm. and that of their ilk. So, I mean, it's the willingness, I think, to abuse that and not be fair and sidestep and otherwise sabotage things that a lot of people are really, really active on. So, of course, you won't hear the last of the efforts behind both of these groups, these interests, but I really hope people take their jobs seriously, but not in such a way that they're abusing their positions. And I don't know. I don't find that. I don't find that that's across the board. I think that there's a tendency, especially on this kind of issue, where there's a lot of religious and other kinds of special interests that are pretty radical in their tactics.
Mm-hmm.
They want to basically co-opt and nullify the dramatic signature gathering that has taken place to put that into the ballot.
Well, they want to subvert the will of the people. That is what annoys me more than anything.
Oh, for sure.
It's yeah. it's upsetting when the majority of people want something bad, but I've learned to accept that when that does happen. But in this particular case, the majority of people overwhelmingly, and hopefully more than 60%, want abortion rights. Absolutely. And they're doing everything possible to prevent that from happening, and not just in Ohio. On Thursday, the Missouri Supreme Court ordered Republican Attorney General to stand down and allow an initiative petition to legalize abortion in the state to move forward. Supreme Court judges unanimously affirmed the lower court's decision that Attorney General Andrew Bailey must approve the cost estimate provided by the auditor, despite Bailey's insistence that the cost to taxpayers of restoring abortion rights could be as much as a million times higher than what the auditor found. Let me just repeat that. The auditor found a certain amount is what it would cost to restore abortion rights. And this attorney general said, no, it's a million times higher than that. Basically, I mean, they're just making things up right now, and it's crossed way over into the land of absurdity. Now, because Bailey refused to approve Republican Auditor Scott Fitzpatrick's cost estimate, the Secretary of State has not been able to give the amendment his stamp of approval that is needed for supporters to begin gathering voter signatures to put it on the ballot in 2024. Now, in Thursday's Supreme Court order, judges found that Bailey's stonewalling meant plaintiff Anna Fitzjames, who was represented by the ACLU of Missouri, lost out on nearly 100 days she could have been collecting signatures. Again, this is insane what they are getting away with. And I hope they have to pay the price for this. And I hope democracy wins in the end. But, boy, we have so many fights going on right now.
Yeah, and go secular society. I mean, knock at their door. Let them know that their fanatical ways are not that of that of everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, let secular society be secular and stop blaming it for your dwindling pew numbers and so forth.
And if you want to know what the Republicans are up to as well, they think they're going to impeach Biden now. Because they keep harping on Hunter Biden, his son, and how corrupt he is and all that, trying to tie it to Joe Biden somehow, to his administration somehow. You know, every time you turn to Fox, that's what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they just cannot let go of this, even though there is very, very little tying Hunter Biden to anything that Joe Biden is doing right now, other than being his son. You know, the guy does not work in the White House, unlike Trump's kids. They were there all the time. They were given security clearance when they certainly did not deserve it. And the corruption there, oh my God, the corruption. We haven't even talked about Trump, about what he is facing. It just looks so bad. If you just use his own words against him, the recordings, the letters, just everything. And they pretend, the Republicans pretend that's nothing. That doesn't exist. And then they point to Hunter Biden and said, aha, this is a criminal conspiracy. It's laughable. But since they control the House right now, thank you, Long Island. we put the Republicans in charge. They might actually be able to impeach him. Of course, he won't be convicted in the Senate.
Has anybody checked on George Santos? Is he okay?
Oh, he's never okay. Believe me.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the whole thing is so ridiculous, and nothing important is getting done as a result of that.
I honestly can't comment on it because it's not really. It gets me. I don't have very friendly things to say, and it just it's dangerous, especially on a radio station at this hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm ignoring a lot of it. It's true the House is being run by some really spiteful individuals, and we're going to have to bear witness to this kind of crap. But there's a lot of other stuff, as you said, and I think it speaks for itself. It's like, yeah, you could put a lot of wind and hot air out there about what it means, the implications, how dissatisfied we all are and disappointed and I don't know. I mean, it engenders such distrust politically and across the board. I think a lot of people are ignoring it.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching a lot of sports, trying to forget about all these
strikes. We started doing that. We started the whole show talking
about sports.
We're
no different.
But there are other things going on.
Don't make me shush.
Yeah, other things are going on, and we have to pay attention.
Yeah, I'm fully about being engaged, and I urge people not to be distracted. And I was going to mention there's a heck of a lot of striking going on, labor unrest,
mm-hmm.
and all of that stuff is I think, symptoms and worth discussing and paying attention to, because there's when you make these kinds of deals and arrangements and you foster the kind of climate we're in and harbor that kind of resentment and act and support actors and political agents that tarnish the reputation of your political affiliations, I think you're going to meet all of these sort of counterintuitive and unexpected side effects, and they creeps into all forms of our daily life. And I think to work together, to be cohesive and prosper in any way, we're going to have to really dig deep to get past some of this stuff. But it's truly, truly unsettling and really sad in so many ways.
It's important people realize that because, look, there are all sorts of battles and fights that we are engaged in that don't fit with the whole left versus right thing. Because whenever you have anybody in power, you're going to be disagreeing with them on certain things. Today is a good example of that, because another federal judge today blocked Biden's controversial asylum policy, which is a major blow to his administration, which was leaning on the measure to drive down border crossings. Now, this particular policy is very much like a Trump-era one. It garnered wide condemnation from Biden allies, including Democratic lawmakers, immigrant advocates, when it was rolled out. The administration said, to be clear, this was not our first preference or even our second, but it was a bad choice. And now it has basically been stopped. And that's a good thing. That's how it's supposed to work. And you know that Biden is going to follow the law. He's going to follow what the court says.
And not abuse position.
The ACLU applauded the ruling, saying the ruling is a victory, but each day the Biden administration prolongs the fight over its illegal ban. Many people fleeing persecution and seeking safe harbor for their families are instead left in grave danger. The promise of America is to serve as a beacon of freedom and hope, and the administration can and should do better to fulfill this promise, rather than perpetuate cruel and ineffective policies that betray it. So, you know, one day you're suing Texas, another day you're perpetuating Trump-like policies, and we have to fight when that is the case. But make no mistake, the fact that we are fighting Biden on this does not mean we're saying, oh, Biden is just like Trump, as a lot of morons out there are doing. People on the left who say these things are basically working for Trump and his allies. Look, you have to realize there are bad things about everybody. Every politician has awful policies or thoughts, and sometimes they just make bad mistakes. You have to be able to recognize the difference between somebody who is truly evil and somebody who is a typical politician.
Well, and that's why, like, the idea that complete loyalty to some candidate is the responsibility of the voters or anyone that endorses that candidate is so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, loyalty in what sense? Why?
Yeah.
Why ought you be loyal to, I mean, perhaps the Constitution, maybe the office of the presidency, but like any one individual occupying it, you have no obligation to be loyal to them. You can vote for someone else next time. You can be dissatisfied the day after you vote for somebody. You can criticize them all the way through their presidency. You can not ever vote. You have all these different options.
But it is...
A
lot
ahead.
Of those things are basically shooting yourself in the foot. If you don't
vote,
if you don't vote, if you vote for somebody else and put the other guy in power, what have you accomplished? You know, you might as well be just working for the other party. You know, you might as well just be throwing it all away. I think, you know, we have an obligation to criticize, to fight for what we believe in. But in the end, when it comes down to a choice between bad and much worse, you don't sit that one out. You don't sit that one out, because if you do, it's really going to go downhill very quickly. And we see how many places that's happening because the wrong people are in power. We have to change that, or it's going to get so much worse, and it might not be recoverable.
Yeah. I just mean that you shouldn't be judged, or you will be judged, or can be, you know, based on all of those different options that you have.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, don't come and tell other people that because they're playing the game or they're following the rules or they're encouraging people to participate in their duty as a citizen, that it's not worth doing, or that one party is really backwards, and but you're actually for that party. I mean, give me a break. It's unbelievable. You can't convince me that you truly have a liberal values or something in mind, and you're not going to, but you didn't participate, or you think that, well, one decision is the basis for completely, you know, upending or starting over, or jumping ship on an administration that you didn't like on one issue, yeah, why don't you criticize them? Help direct them.
Yes.
If more people had stood up and not been loyal to Trump and directed him as though he could be, but like, you know, expressed through the people that endorsed him and through their representatives.
You picked the one exception to that, well, that general rule that you have, which works for the most part, but somebody like Trump, no, you can't change him. You can't direct him.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean that's the other sort of like error in judgment, I think, top to bottom in the RNC and for allowing him to become the candidate or at least being so acquiescing to the people that were so adamant that he be the candidate, as though popularity equates experience or is a justification for him to be there at all.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, there's so many ways to get into this. We don't have as much time to really break it all open, but it's pretty insane to act that way. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, we're going to have to end it there. We do want to encourage people to go to the Starnberg Film Festival, which is happening. In fact, the film starts, I think, in 3 minutes, so you better get your asses over there. And it's going on until this weekend on the campus of the State University of New York at Stony Brook. So we've been to a few films already, and it's always good to be in a room with several hundred people seeing something. There are films about the things we're talking about, in fact, about trying to escape to a different country and ways that you're treated, and just culture from all over the world. So that's super important. I guess that's going to do it for us here tonight. Write to us, otw@2600.com, and we will see you again next week.
See ya.
And stay dry. It's very wet out there.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather since my man and I ain't together. Keeps raining all the time. Life is bare, gloom and misery everywhere. Stormy weather just can't get my poor self together. I'm weary all the time, the time. So weary all the time. When he went away, the blues walked in and met me. If he stays away, old rocking chair will get me. All I do is pray the Lord above will let me walk in the sun once more. Can't go on. All I have in life is gone. Stormy weather since my man and I ain't together. Keeps raining all the time. Keeps raining all the time. I walk around heavy-hearted and sad. Night comes around and I'm still feeling bad. Rain pouring down, blinding every hope I had. Beating and splattering drives me mad. Love, 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 love. This misery is just too much for me. Can't go on. All I have in life is gone. Stormy weather. Since my man and I ain't together, keeps raining all the time. time in all the time.
That's right, the ironically named Ethel Waters singing Stormy Weather. Yep, stay dry out there, kids.